It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Crisis averted, temporarily anyway. So the U.S. will not default for the first time in history, sending the nation and the planet into an economic freefall until December 3rd anyway. Here's what happened. After Mitch McConnell floated the idea of allowing the Democrats a temporary and limited increase in the debt limit, letting it pass by a simple majority vote instead of invoking cloture, the worst of the Republican caucus, Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham among them, disagreed. So they filibustered, but then magically came up with 11 Republican votes to overcome the filibuster with a 61-38 vote. Then the actual debt limit patch was able to pass with Democrats' votes alone, 50-48. The debt ceiling deal increases the limit by $480 billion and ensures that the Treasury Department can keep paying its bills until December 3rd. Speaker Nancy Pelosi Thursday night indicated that the House will return early from recess this coming Tuesday to pass the agreement and send it on to President Biden. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said that the debate over the U.S. debt ceiling amounts to, quote, flirting with a self-inflicted crisis, but that everyone breathed a sigh of relief after the deal was reached. But it still doesn't resolve the underlying stalemate over the issue. It just delays the fight until another day, and that day, December 3rd, happens to be the same day that the continuing resolution to fund the government also runs out. So we got that to look forward to. Well, the September job report was issued Friday morning, and it missed expectations, with payrolls increasing by just 194,000, much lower than expected. What this tells us is that the government slashing unemployment benefits under the premise that people would rather just take the money than work was wrong. The upshot is that very few jobs were added after millions of people were cut off from unemployment benefits. Moving right along. While the House Select Committee on January 6th is sending out subpoenas, more on that in a moment, the Senate Judiciary Committee on Thursday released its report on what happened in those final days of the Trump administration, and it's devastating. One of the shocking revelations goes like this. When Attorney General William Barr left office in late December, the former guy and his top aides launched a relentless push to get interim Justice Department leaders to investigate bogus allegations of voter fraud and ultimately reverse Trump's 2020 election loss to President Biden. The pressure included 9 calls and meetings with Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen and Acting Deputy Attorney General Richard Donahue. Then Acting Assistant Attorney General Jeffrey Clark told Rosen he would turn down Trump's offer to replace Rosen if only Rosen joined forces with those pushing Trump's election fraud story. Follow me so far? The report said the committee confirmed that Mark Meadows, who was then Trump's chief of staff, pushed Rosen on multiple occasions to investigate alleged election fraud. It went so far that most of the attorneys in the Justice Department threatened to resign en masse if Trump went through with his plan. Even the White House counsel, Pat Cipollone, also reportedly threatened to resign. My question is, where's Merrick Garland? So Donald Trump is still obstructing justice. We now know that the former guy instructed Mark Meadows, Steve Bannon, Dan Scavino, and Kash Patel to defy the subpoenas issued to them late last month by the House Select Committee investigating January 6th. Trump saying that he'll try to assert executive privilege to prevent the committee from obtaining any information they're seeking. Well, it doesn't work that way. Congressman Pete Aguilar, a member of the committee, said it's not Trump's place to decide what information is covered by executive privilege. Quote, it is not his role to claim privilege. That is the current occupant of the White House. Meanwhile, the committee issued a new round of subpoenas targeting 2 leaders of the Stop the Steal group, Ali Alexander and Nathan Martin, who are also affiliated with the planning of the January 6th events in Washington. So the Washington Post identified more than 30,000 lies told by the former guy while he was in office, but the mendacity continues. The House Committee on Oversight and Reform also released hundreds of pages of documents Thursday that Democrats say show Donald Trump's hotel in D.C. lost millions of dollars while he was president, despite also allegedly getting preferential treatment from a bank. The findings raise new and troubling questions about the former guy's lease with the General Services Administration and that agency's ability to manage the former guy's conflicts of interest during his time in office. And we have two winners of the Nobel Peace Prize, journalists Maria Ressa of the Philippines and Dmitry Muratov of Russia, won the 2021 Nobel Peace Prize on Friday for their fight for freedom of expression in countries where media outlets have faced persistent attacks. Maria Ressa has been critical of Philippine President Duterte's anti-drug campaign, and Dmitry Muratov is the founder of independent Russian newspaper Novaya Gazeta. The Nobel Committee stressing that an independent press is vital in promoting peace. I'm just going to let that sit there for a moment. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is completely listener supported and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com and please click on that donate button.